Well, hey, Rock Church, it's good to not see you. I know you can see me. This is awesome. It's a new experience for many of us, I know, but praise be to God that we have an opportunity to be able to still meet together over the weekend to gather in our home. So hopefully you guys are comfy in your PJs. You're just taking it easy, chilling. That's awesome. We love that we have this opportunity together. Thanks for joining us. If you are new, watching for the first or second time, or somebody shared this video online and you're watching with them, we just want to say welcome. We're glad you're checking it out. If you take a second, fill out that little link that's popping up on the screen occasionally, trc.live/connect. We would love to hear from you, get to know a little bit more about you. And if you're on Facebook Live right now, go ahead and comment. Let us know who's watching, where you're watching from, who's with you. And go ahead and feel free to do some shouts and hallelujahs and amens if something sounds good, all right? So this weekend, we're talking about fear. Whew, what a time to be alive, right? Living in some strange times. Nothing like this is anything I think any of us have ever experienced before. Every media report, all the social media conversations, there's so much panic. I mean, our professional sports has been shut down, literally all of them. Movie theaters are closed, our schools are closed, travel is restricted, social distancing. Our world has been plunged into this state of uncertainty and fear over this coronavirus epidemic. And then beyond that, us here locally, Salt Lake City last week decided to call a timeout and said, hey, hold my seven up. Let's add some earthquakes to the mix. It's just been crazy. It's been weird. It's been difficult. How are you doing? Honestly, how's your heart? How's your emotions? How's your family, your loved ones? How are you guys doing in this season? Maybe a better question is, what do you find yourself more prone to be fearful of lately? How is that affecting the way that you're going about your day-to-day? Are you just flat-out fearful? Or maybe you're not using that word. Maybe you use words like, I just feel scared. It's a little terrifying, nervous, uneasy, anxious, panicked. Lots of different words we use that communicate essentially the same thing. Something has us fearful, am I right? It's no coincidence that in our Bibles, we read that one phrase repeated over and over, more than any other, is the command to fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Hundreds of times throughout Scripture, it's almost like as if God knew the kind of people that he was dealing with when he chose to give us a book. Fearful people. We have limits. We have boundaries. We aren't in control of everything. And of course, God does know that, right? Psalm 100 tells us that it is the Lord who has made us, and we are his. He knows us. He understands our limits, and he's told us where we can turn. And yet, knowing that we have a Father who is good and who has repeated himself over and over, that doesn't necessarily we always listen, am I right? Any parents watching today are looking at their children, giving them the stink eye, saying, preach it, pastor. How many times do we tell our children to do something, to listen? How many times have I told you? And it's just in one ear, out the other, right? Whether you're young or you're old, whether you're a kiddo or you're a young adult or your grandparents, whatever season of life you're in, we all have the same thing in common. We really need to do a better job at listening to our Father. But fear knows how to get our attention. It knows how to distract us. It gets our hearts and it gets our minds all out of whack. There's just so many different avenues to go down when it comes to fear. There's the fear of man. There's the fear of failure. There's the fear of being exposed, the fear of something in our lives being found out. And with the climate of our world today, there's even more. There's the thoughts of financial security and loneliness and my health and their health and our jobs and mortality have people more fearful than probably ever before. And so when things like these are under attack, we all just have difficulty trusting in anything outside of ourselves to calm down the problem or fix the problem. And fear can stem from something that's real, right? This could be a real health issue. It could be a job been laid off. It could be being accepted, the approval of someone. It could be our own life, our own mortality. It could be coming home to explain to your parents the bad report card. People were scared to go to the dentist. People are scared of flying. Those are some real fears. But then fear can also be things that are totally imagined, right? Things that we just think could happen, or what we like to call the what ifs. What if I got sick? What if they get sick? What if we go for a walk and that rabid dog comes up and tries to bite one of my kiddos? What if my dad says I can't play video games today? And then there's straight up ridiculous fears as well that are just totally irrational. Like, what if a comet landed on my house? Or some phobias that are quite real. I couldn't make these up. These are some real phobias. The fear of your mother-in-law, which some brothers under their breath are going, amen, pastor. There's the fear of bald people. Fear of peanut butter sticking to the roofs of our mouths. It's fear is a broad scope. It can be real. It can be legitimate. It can be imagined. And it can even be just ridiculous. But one thing is clear. Fear is a real emotion. It has the ability to push us into the deep end of the fear pool. It can affect us physically. It can cause anxiety. It can cause us to worry and panic and sweat and more panic attacks and increased heart rate and nervous twitches. It can cause ulcers and hives and sores. Fear can make us do strange things. We can become obsessive about anything. The potential for something that's small could become big, or potential for something that's big could become bigger. It could just become a big, big, fearful problem that we can't look past. Fear can drive people to self-medicating with food and overeating or caffeine or alcohol. Maybe it's hours and hours of on video games, tuning out, or maybe it's just binging on Netflix. Lots of strange things. And with this coronavirus, it has us Googling and WebMDing. Any symptom that we have or somebody has, it just pushes us into automatic fear. Like, oh, here it is. It's it. I got it. It's it. Here we go. But it's not always true. It just makes us do strange things. For other of us, maybe you just can't sleep. And then when you do finally fall asleep, you're in a position, you're so exhausted, you're so overwhelmed that you can't physically get out of bed, or you just have to keep sleeping, or you go and take 8 naps throughout the day, or maybe the exact opposite. Fear has you just overworking. You're scrubbing toilets, you're scrubbing bed sheets, you're scrubbing sidewalk out by the mailbox, you're doing anything. Or you go out and you grab 9 years worth of toilet paper. Maybe you lash out, you're short-tempered, you're super irritable towards your loved ones. Lots of reactions that can be caused by fear. But fear is also not all bad either. It's hardwired in our brain. It can serve a good purpose. It warns us of danger. It's an appropriate reaction with things like when a building's on fire, or the earth shakes, or a rabid dog comes running up towards you and your family. That kind of fear, it's appropriate. That's a good response to something that's dangerous, that can cause us harm. Fear that leads to a response like that, that's good. That moves us into action to prepare for the storm. And I'd say with what's happening in our climate today, in our world, I think most of us are doing a pretty good job at taking this pandemic seriously and responding cautiously, being proactive. Proverbs urges that in Proverbs 22:3. It says, the wise see trouble and hide themselves, or they prepare for the storm. They use discretion and they're wise. But it's the fear that leads to just more fear. That's not good. Where do you find yourself? What do you find yourself doing when you're gripped by that kind of fear that just cripples you, overwhelms you? More importantly, what does your fear draw you closer to, or does it draw you further away from in those moments? God has a lot to say. We've been told over and over, fear not. And the Lord has equipped us to fight our fears. So I've titled our message this week, Fighting Fear. And there are so many points that we could make, that we could go to, so many stories throughout the Bible and through history that we could go to find encouragement. But I really just want to camp on two thoughts today. One is the relation of our thoughts with the current situations and how we manage our thoughts. And then the other is in relation to our thoughts and how we gravitate around the truth of who God is. So, in a world upside down, brothers and sisters, we don't need to give way to fear, amen? So will you pray with me, you and your family, those with you? Will you take a moment and bow your heads and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we love you. We really do. Lord, this is a strange time in our life, and we just ask for your help. Would you guide us? Would you draw closer to us? Would you use your word? God, your word is truth. It's beneficial for us. It's good for our soul. Will you use your word to comfort us, your children, today? We need your help. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our first point, do not give way to fear. Don't give way to fear. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and this, self-control. We don't need to let our worries and our fears consume us because we have something in us that is foreign to us, that God has placed in us. It's called the Spirit of God. We now have the ability to control what was once uncontrollable, our thought lives, our actions, our words, the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we think, the way that we respond to fear. And again, this doesn't mean we just ignore any immediate danger. We say, the Spirit of God is in me, therefore I'm just gonna close my eyes and walk across into oncoming traffic. No, that's foolishness. But we need to be wise. We need to believe that this is true. We know that in this world, we're going to have troubles and we need to face them appropriately. We need to be prayerful and be prepared. That's wise, that's wisdom. But when it comes to our thought lives, we could all really benefit from practicing some self-control. But that can sure be a battle, right? Especially with fear. Fear is just a jerk. He's just takes over. It can just consume every element of our lives and our thoughts. It can just fill us with doubt and worry, panic. Sometimes it's things that aren't even our own reality. With this lack of spiritual obedience and this spirit-empowered self-control, our thought lives can just poof, quickly go up in flames. Especially when you're already geared towards fear. Things that are small, things that are big, they can all seem just catastrophic, and our brain can't discern between the two. Our brains are just notorious for misfiring on us. But we must not give way to this kind of fear. We need to be able to take control of our thought life. Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, remember, you've got a spirit not of fear, but a spirit of power and self-control. Fear will make you believe things that aren't your reality are now your reality. We have to have control of that. We need to have some self-control. We cannot let our thought life run down the path of what ifs. What if this happened? What if that happened? What if I got sick and then they got sick? What if the garage door opens up by itself while we're out of town? What if the car breaks down on the way to the gas station? You guys, that was me just last week. That's a spirit of fear. But God's given us a spirit of power, of love, self-control. In another area, not just with our thought lives, that we need to take some self-control, it's this guy right here, right? Our phone. Just scrolling through news feeds and social media and blogs 24/7. This is doing some damage. And it's interesting in how many times in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, like in Joshua and Samuel, we read there's these two words tethered together. They go together like peas and carrots. It's the word afraid and discouraged. You'll see that often in the Old Testament. It's really fascinating. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Fear breeds more discouragement. Discouragement breeds more fear. That's what we do with our phones all day. We're discouraged. We get online. Boom, find something to be scared about. Cool, found it. Now I'm more worried than I was 10 minutes ago. Hey, it's been 10 minutes. I'm feeling pretty anxious. Let's scroll through and see if we can find anything else. Oh, boom, I found something discouraging me. All right, now I'm even more fearful. And we just repeat, refresh, repeat, refresh. We've got to take control of that. The amount of bad news we keep ingesting, the news is consuming us over and over, just refreshing, sending us into panic. Again, that's a spirit of fear, not self-control. So much bad news, and we find ourselves running towards it constantly. The possibility for bad news, the potential of something worse getting worser, that's not even a word, that's gonna get worse. The fear of more bad news. It's like we're just rolling dice over and over just until we get snake eyes. Just giving more, just fear breeding more discouragement. Discouragement breeding more fear. And it's foolishness. It really is. That's foolishness. And it's Proverbs 26 foolishness. Like a dog returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Think about that. Not being able to put my phone down because I'm just waiting for more bad news, that's folly. That's a spirit of fear. It's completely taking over. I would encourage you, beloved, limit the amount of time that you're on this thing, right? Like, stay updated. Don't be naive. Don't be ignorant. Stay updated. Check your news feed. Check on your peeps. But after that, you know, process it, then put it down. Don't stare at it just waiting for something to break. We need to set some boundaries for ourselves. Can you actually turn this off? Can you put it away? Can you walk into another room without it and move on? We have to set some boundaries. We need to replace the source of so much bad news with the source of good news. Imagine what God could do in our lives, in our hearts, with our thoughts, with our joy, with our ministry, with our fears, if we replaced going to this 100 times a day with this. God has given us a spirit of self-control. We can do it. It's a choice we make, literally 100 times a day. If you find yourself just feasting on fear and discouragement, think about what's consuming most of your time. You're going to find yourself useless. If we aren't keeping our thought life under control, if we're not keeping this under control, it's just going to feed more irrationality, more discouragement. Don't give way to fear. Don't do it. When that fear seizes you, it's going to lie to you. It's going to proclaim to you that, yeah, you're all alone in this. Yeah, that thing that's bad, it's only going to get worse, and it's going to come after you. That monster under your bed is bigger and scarier than you really believe it is. It's going to affect your whole family. And our enemy preys on that irrational fear, doesn't he? And our own hearts. Our hearts are so prone to wander on the what ifs. What could happen? This is going to happen. God does not give us that spirit of fear, beloved. That's our enemy. That's our flesh. That's our own heart. But God has given us something better. God has given us him. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. God's word tells us there's a better way. If you have your Bible, go with me to Philippians chapter 4. God's word tells us that there's a better way. We don't have to feast on fear. We don't have to fight fear. Think about these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God's telling us to replace our thoughts with better thoughts, our fearful thoughts with good thoughts. When we give way to that fear, when we just let it feast up and fester, it's like we're just reading the exact opposite. We're just taken over and consumed by fear, and we read this, but we're actually thinking, well, whatever's scary, whatever's discouraging, whatever's not even my own reality, whatever could happen to me, if there's anything that can keep me up at night, if there's anything that can rob me of joy, let's think about those things. Why do we do that? Why? We have to take control of our thoughts. There is so much freedom right here. Philippians 4, verse 8. There is so much freedom for our thought lives. Believing what is good, thinking about what is true. We must get our mind out of the trash can of what ifs. What if this happened? What could happen? What might happen? And what if instead we focus our thoughts on what is true? What is honorable? What is lovely? What does God's word say? What has God done? Oh, that'll change our lives. Take control of your thought life. You have your Bible still. You can go over to Isaiah 40. Love this verse. I'd encourage you today, read Isaiah 40. Just read it. It's so encouraging. It just tells us about who God is. These are our promises. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, these are our promises. This is who God is. We can read about who he is and what he's done. Verse 1, I comfort my people. Verse 7, the grass withers, but the word of God stands forever. Verse 9, shout out and don't be afraid, for your God is coming. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry his lamb in his arms, holding them close to his heart. That's who our God is. To whom can compare to our God, who created the stars? Verse 27, it just keeps going, right? Who can say that the Lord doesn't care or see our troubles? The Lord is everlasting. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. It's beautiful. Don't for a moment entertain any idea that contradicts this, that God cares about us. Do you believe that? Do you live in that truth, that God knows your burdens? He knows your fears. He loves you. Can you take comfort in those truths right now? Do you believe that even in this COVID-19 pandemic crisis that our God is in control? Beloved, our faith may be shaky during these times, but don't ignore your fear. You don't ignore your fear. Don't avoid your fear, but also don't just entertain it 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. You don't have to answer the door when it comes knocking. You don't need to let him sit at your table with your family. You don't need to give it a bed to rest. You don't have to entertain the spirit of fear. God's given you something better. Don't give way to fear. Next, when you find yourself struggling, you can't get past your thought life, you can't render it in. Fight your fear with the truth of who God is. Fight fear with this. I have a good dad. I may be weak. I'm frail. I mess up all the time. I can't handle this, but I have a good dad who's in control. In Romans 8, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Notice again, there's that spirit of fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, as daughters, and we cry, Abba, Father. Because of who God is, we no longer need to be fearful slaves leading ourselves straight into more fear that leads into more sin, because God has rescued us from that. That is no longer who we are. That is no longer the home that we live in. God has adopted us. He's ransomed us. He's picked us up out of that, and he's placed us in the confines of his own safety and shelter. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our dad. We are children of God. Think about this, parents, all of you, no doubt, right? What you wouldn't do to ensure your own child's safety? That's a ridiculous question, I know. But think about it. There's nothing you wouldn't do. You would do everything to protect your child. Nothing you would not do to reassure your child that you got them. You'll give them everything. You will lay down everything. You would work around the clock, the clothes, the skin off your back. You'd travel around the world and back. And God is infinitely better parent than you and I will ever be or could ever become. He's our good dad. He hears our cries. He understands our worries. He's able to comfort us. He's able to draw near to us. Oh, how God is so much more ready for us to come to him. He is so ready for us to hear. If only we'd be so ready to come to him. He's our refuge in these moments. He's our strong tower. He's our daddy. He's a good dad. Jesus in Mark 14, moments before his agonizing death, he proclaimed this truth. He says the same language, the same vocabulary. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. All things. Our fears are never going to be something that's impossible for our dad. Nothing. I'll give you a silly example just the last few days. Just Thursday, my son was... He had a break during his homeschool, and he was dribbling the basketball around the house. Yeah, I don't know if you should do that. We allow our kids to dribble the basketball in the house. But he comes into my office dribbling a basketball, and he says, hey, Dad, so are you ever going to become a professional basketball player? Bless his heart. Because my son's 8, so to an 8-year-old, I can ball pretty hard, right? I can take some kids to school. So my son thinks I'm quite a bit better than Daddy really is. So I had to break it to him. I said, baby, just so you know, there's not a chance that your daddy's going to go pro. Daddy's too old. He's too tired. He's too short. But my son, bless his heart, he's still at this age where he thinks his daddy can do anything. Like, that's not impossible. My son looks at LeBron James, 6'7", 6'8", LeBron James, 3-time NBA champion, number three all-time scoring. My son looks at LeBron James, and then he looks at me and goes, yeah, my dad could compete with that. He doesn't see there's a huge difference between me and the man, LeBron James. He still thinks his dad can do anything. And there's going to be a day that he's going to realize, oh, you know what, my dad, he can't do anything, right? It's probably going to be harder for me than it is for him, but there's going to become a day where my son realizes that not all things are possible for my dad. That's going to be his reality one day. But for those of us who are children of God, there's never going to be a day like that for us. There is nothing our Father can't do. There is nothing too big and too bad for our God to stand up against. When it comes to our Father in heaven, all things are possible for him. That means the Goliath that you think is unbeatable, Jesus has already slayed that giant. The valley of death that you feel that you're walking through, Jesus has already conquered that. Jesus has gone through that for you. The fear that's binding up in your heart, God can unbind. The problem that you feel is just impossible. This fear is just beyond control. God's word tells us no. That's not impossible. All things are possible with God. That's our Father. So where does your fear and worry send you in those moments? Does it send you to despair, to self-medicating, to isolation, or does it send you into the arms of your Father? You may very well be able to gauge your closeness and your identity as a child of God in these moments. Fearful moments. Are you running out into the oncoming traffic of the world to try and find comfort and answer and solutions there? Or are we like wise children who run to their arms of their mommy and daddy for that immediate relief and comfort? That is the access we have as children of God. We need to fight fear with the truth of who God is. I have a Father who loves me. You have a Father who loves you, who comforts you, who understands you, who is near to you, and you can run to him. He is a good dad, and you do not have to fight alone. The Bible says God fights for us. Our Father stands up and fights for us in Psalm 34. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. If that's you, you feel just broken. You feel crushed. Our Father comes to us. He's near to us. He saves us. He rescues us. He is present now. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, I am with you always. This God is so real and so good and so present that he invaded our world, Philippians 2 says, and he emptied himself of all of his luxuries, that is divinity and godlihood. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant to serve you, to serve me. He humbled himself to the point of the cross. Christ bled out and died in our place for our sake. That's how badly, how deeply our God loves us and fights for us. I've been reading this devotional by a sweet gal named Joni Erickson Tada. She said this recently. She says, you don't have to be alone in your hurt or in your fears. Comfort is yours. Joy is an option, and it's all been made possible by your Savior. He went without comfort so you might have it. He postponed joy so you might share in it. He willingly chose isolation so you may never be alone in your hurt and sorrow. Beloved, never forget, this is the God that's in our corner. This is our dad. We don't have to fight this alone. And also, remember, we have one another. Take advantage of the church body. There is so much unity. There's so much power and support and encouragement in the household of faith. We will get through this together. But even not meeting in this room, we can still connect with one another through FaceTime and our social distancing, Zooms. A lot of our small groups are meeting, the Zoom meetings, texting, reaching out to one another. Don't just remain isolated in these moments. Use this as an opportunity to draw closer. And beloved, that's a ministry opportunity right now. Use this time at home, isolated, to reach out to those in your world. Let them know that the church is there for them, that their worries aren't unwarranted, that they matter. And if you need prayer, if you need someone to talk to, go to that website on the homepage of the Rock Church website, trc.life. We can send prayer requests that way. We would love to pray for you. And I know it's kind of hard. We have this physical distance. We can't really be next to one another. But by no means does that mean we can't carry one another's burdens, that we can't meet with one another. It's just different for the time being. It's a new season. Let's get good at carrying one another's burdens from this new reality that we have. Let's take advantage of meeting with one another with these different opportunities we have via technology. When the family of God bands together in crisis, in moments like this, there's incredible power. We have to tap into that. Whatever's burdening you or causing you distress or fear, you can bring it to the Lord. You can bring it to your brothers and your sisters. Let's come alongside one another. You are not alone, Christian, in the fears or the uncertainties that you're fearing. Never. Whatever dangers and uncertainties that may come our way, may we see them as giant billboards that are pointing us not to a plan of action or a strategy. And those are good things, but when we see everything going on in the world, may it point us to a person, to the one who is in total control, who has absolute power, whose word is our power, it is our strength, it is our comfort. He is our one true safety. It's the God we run to, the God that's mentioned in Isaiah 41, who tells us to fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. So true. God says, take comfort. I have overcome this world. Cast your burdens on me because I care for you. Do not worry. Matthew 6, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Three times Jesus has to repeat himself. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And while the world is just banging so many pots and pans, that's so much noise of why we need to be afraid, we cannot stop to remember that we need to be listening to our shepherd's voice. May we, like wandering sheep, stop, listen, turn it off, and return to our good shepherd. So in this crazy time, in this world, we need not fear and panic and worry. Let it, these opportunities draw us closer to God. We are people of hope, and we have a hope that's not in vain because it's bound up in the word of God, the God of all creation who speaks life, who loves us, who calls us his children, who fights for us, who's with us, who will comfort us in our trials. We need to be good cheer. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. And I'd love to encourage you today to spend some time. If you go to the Rock Church app, if you go to the Fear Not series, you go to the messages today, there's some digital blanks or notes, I think it's called. You click on that. There's a lot of great resources for you. There's some books I would recommend. There's some great verses on fighting fear. There's some really great resources that you can read online. And additionally, I put together some discussion questions for you, for whoever's around you, your family, whoever you have with you today, to take some time to go through these questions. There's some heavy questions. There's some lighter questions the kids can answer. Participate. Take advantage of this opportunity you have in your home to continue the church service with your loved ones. I think it'd be really beneficial for you to take advantage of those questions today. And I'd also be remiss if I did not say this, that I know there are many watching online with us today, maybe for the first time, and we're so thankful that you're sticking around and watching with us. I know there's those who are watching who would not identify themselves as a Christian, and we are equally thankful that you're still sticking around and tuning into this today. I just want to ask you, direct a question towards you, if that is you. I want to know, where do you go with your fear? Where do you go with your fear? Or maybe just better ask, what is it that you fear the most? Are you fearful about the future? Many of us are. The whole world is right now. It's really strange. Or maybe you're fearful that you could come in contact with this COVID-19 virus. Many of those watching with you today feel that fear as well. Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's you're afraid of something being found out about yourself. Maybe it's the fear of being exposed. If someone found out about this, my life would be over. Maybe you have sin stored up in your heart that you're fearful anybody finding out. Maybe that's you. And my friend, I just want you to know something. God already knows. God sees everything, all of your sin. There's nothing that will be hidden, that will remain unhidden. Jesus says there will be a day where you will give a life for your account. You'll all the good and all the bad, and you're going to have to give an account for all of it. And there will be nothing in your life that will remain hidden. That's a bit of a scary thought to think about, right? To know that there's a God who knows all the things that I've done, all the things that I've stored up and I've hidden, and that's not safe from him. He will expose that. That's a very sobering thought. But did you know that you need not fear that day? That there is hope for the broken, for the sinful. They come to the feet of Jesus. You do not have to live in constant fear of the future. Even more important, you don't have to live in the fear of your sin being found out by a holy God, because God has invaded our world and he has invited you to come and be forgiven today. 2,000 years ago, God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He took all of our sins upon himself for all who believe and trust in him, and he was crushed. He was bled out and beaten. He was humiliated. He was flogged. He was spit upon. He was despised and rejected by all. He was killed. He was buried. And he rose from the grave 3 days later. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, defeated sin. He conquered death and the devil. And this good God is available for you today. This God that says you don't need to fear. You can cry out to him today, and this truth can become your reality. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, nothing to fear, safety in this good God's arms. God's commanding you to put your trust in him today. Christ can save you from all your sins. He will save you from all of your fears. That is who he is. There is hope in the hands of the risen Savior. You put your life, you put your future, you put your hope, you put all of your trust in this God who loved you and gave himself for you. That is good news in a world just filling up with more fear and bad news. And if that's your desire, maybe for the first time today, to receive this forgiveness, to take on, to step up and accept and trust in Jesus and cherish this relationship that you can have with Jesus today, I would encourage you to become a Christian today. You pray in your heart, you say, God, I'm a sinner, I'm a mess, I'm fearful, I got a lot of baggage, but I've heard that you can take all of it and I can bring it all to you, and you will save me and you will forgive me and you will love me, and there's nothing that can take me out of your hands. You can cry out to God like that today. He will save you. God knows your heart, he knows your fears. You can go to him with everything. I encourage you to take that step, to make that prayer today. Become a Christian. And I'd encourage you to reach out to us, that link that's been popping up over and over, trc.live/connect. You reach out to us. We would love to help you further understand what it means to be a Christian, to have no fear in this world, belonging to a God who has overcome the world. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for our friends who may be thinking that prayer, going, God, if you're this good, I want you. I pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give them a heart to receive that good news, that would believe in the hope of this risen Savior Jesus. You are that good, that they would come into a life-saving, eternally cherishing relationship with their good Father. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are, God, we're just prone to fear. When we're just afraid and insecure, Lord, there's a lot going on in our world, and it's just weird, God. But we know you are with us. Will you help us today to trust you? God, help me. Help all of us to recognize that we find our life in you. If there is any joy, it's in you, Jesus. If there is any hope, it's in you. Lord, our life is secure in your hands because you've told us you love us. You call us your sons, your daughters. You are a good father. And Lord, if we're going to fear, if I'm going to fear, will you take it? You've told us to cast all of our anxieties upon you because you care for us. Oh, how we need your help to believe that, to rest in that. Lord, will you fill our minds with what is good, what is true, what is honorable, what is worthy of praise, and that's you, Jesus. Will you fixate all of our thoughts? Will you take away all of our wicked thoughts, our fearful thoughts, and replace them with who you are? And Lord, I pray for us as Christians, you would give us boldness to be ministers of mercy to those in our world who are scared, that we would be encouragers, we would listen, we would speak kindness, we would love those who are afraid. Whatever may come, Lord, we know that you have overcome the world and you are with us now and you will be with us then, and there is nowhere better for any of us to be. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.